Right. Let's please turn our Bibles to Jeremiah 24:8. We finished chapter 24 last week, where the title was, "They have perverted the words of the living God." They were the false teachers, false prophets were making a mockery of Jeremiah's warnings of impending judgment. And by mocking him, like they mock people today. Oh, doom and gloom, and you know, the sandwich board people, the end is near. Do we have a lot of reason? Just forget the Bible and everything. Would there be a lot of reason for people in the world that are thinking to believe the end is near? And then when the Bible says it's going to be like everything that we see today in the last days, then it's insanity that people would mock people warning that we're in the last days. Because they should believe that, even if they don't know the Bible says that these are the signs of the last days, because there are so many reasons to believe we're close to the end. And this week, the title is going to be, "But You Have Not Listened or Inclined Your Ears." So Jeremiah is going to say, I've been doing this for a long time, but you have not listened or inclined your ears. I was talking to somebody, witnessing to somebody last week, and I started off with Matthew 11, where there's the verse that says, Jesus is saying, Father, I thank you that you have hidden these things from, you know, the wise, the prudent, the self-righteous, the people that are prideful. But you have revealed them to babes. You revealed them to humble people. And I started by saying, you know what? What I'm encouraging you to do is get humble, because if you don't get humble, everything I'm saying is going to just not register. It's not going to sink down. And humility is what it takes to see Jesus. It takes humility before you can even truly hear the truth of the gospel and the word of God. And that is really important. And what Jeremiah was saying is, you guys, you can't hear it. I'm telling you this, but you can't hear it. Why? Because we're going to see, as we've been seeing for weeks now, months now, the people were prideful and not accepting the fact that they were sinners in need of repentance. So 24:8, we ended with last week, 24:8-10. And as the bad figs, which cannot be eaten, they are so bad, surely, thus says the Lord, so will I give up Zedekiah, the last king of Judah. He was the one that Babylon carried away, and he was the last king. Give up Zedekiah, the king of Judah, his princesses, and the residue of Jerusalem who remain in the land, and those who dwell in the land of Egypt, the people living in their bunkers, Jews that had gone to Egypt to try and get away from Babylon. I will deliver them to trouble into all the kingdoms of the earth, for their harm to be a reproach and a byword, a taunt and a curse in all places where I shall drive them. And I will send the sword, the famine, and the pestilence among them, till they are consumed from the land that I gave to them and their fathers." So, and that happened. So Babylon, 586 BC, Nebuchadnezzar came, put the city to siege. Zedekiah saw that the city was going to fall, tried to sneak out of the city gate, city walls, snuck under a little hole, got captured by Nebuchadnezzar's generals and military, who they brought him to Nebuchadnezzar. They brought Zedekiah to Nebuchadnezzar along with his sons, the princesses. And Nebuchadnezzar killed the princesses and then put out Zedekiah's eyes. So the last thing he saw was the killing of his children. And then Zedekiah died in Babylon. So he was done. That was the last king. And that was the last time that Israel was sovereign over the land of Israel, at least Judah, because Assyria had conquered the northern 10-tribe area. That was the last time they were sovereign over the land of Israel until 1948. Because even though they were allowed to come back, they came back under the Medo-Persians. Even though they were allowed to live there under the Greeks, they were under the Greeks. Even though they were allowed to live there under the Romans, they were under the Romans. And then the Romans conquered them again to scatter them through all the nations of the world again. So they never were a sovereign nation until then. And the Jewish nation is about to get the sword against them again. And the news today is really troubling for the nation of Israel. You can be praying for the peace of Jerusalem, which means Jesus comes back, because this week the Israeli war cabinet, which has been disbanded, the unity cabinet has been disbanded to where Netanyahu just has his group of guys that he wants to be making the decisions, because they're going into war mode. And the war mode is, we are going to take on Lebanon and Hezbollah. And they told Lebanon, whose government is controlled by Hezbollah, you need to tell all the Hezbollah soldiers to get north of the Litani River in Lebanon by the 24th of June. And then Nasrallah, who is the head of Hezbollah, said, well, you go tell the Jews that if we even see them start to accumulate soldiers for invading southern Lebanon, then we're going to preempt them in a way that they have never experienced in their life. We're going to hit them. And then they said to Cyprus, they said, in Cyprus, we know that Israel's working with you, that if they're preparing, that if Israel's northern military bases get hit, their airfields get bombed to where they can't land their own planes and take their own planes off to go further bomb or land from bombing Lebanon, then they're going to divert the planes over to Cyprus so they don't run out of fuel and crash someplace. And so then Hezbollah said, in Cyprus, if you do that, then we're going to launch on you. We'll launch on your airports in Cyprus. And so Israel is planning for major war by Monday. And it could happen at any time, because if Hezbollah is saying, as soon as I see your troops amassing, I'm going to hit you, and they're needing to amass if they're going to be ready for a 24th, then that means Israel knows that at any moment they could get a first strike on them, which would cause Israel to do what? Want to do what? Do a first strike on Lebanon. So, I mean, we're at a time where at any moment somebody is going to first strike the other one. And Israel, actually, they've always been ambiguous of not letting anybody know whether they truly have nuclear weapons until this last week. And they admitted this last week that we have nuclear weapons. And the defense minister of Israel said that if we do get into this war with Lebanon, if you don't just move north of Litani and stop sending missiles into Israel, then all of Lebanon is going to look like Gaza. And we have capabilities that you don't even know we have. And we're going to be using them on you. Well, see, they know the Jews have nukes. And they don't care, because you would think that Hamas would have raised the white flag by now, don't you think? But they don't care about their people dying. To them, they have done a wonderful job of making sure a bunch of martyrs go get their 70 virgins. That's literally how they think. They love death like Jews and we love life. And so nothing threatens them if they know if we have to lose millions and millions, tens of millions of people to destroy the Jewish state forever, then that's worth it. So they're going to do whatever it takes. And you know what we know? We know that even though judgment is going to be coming, because there is going to be the fulfillment of Isaiah 17. If this war happens, to me, it'll be a perfect fulfillment of Isaiah 17, Psalm 83. And Israel will be damaged, but not out. And we know that they can't be out, as I've emphasized a million times, because Jesus comes back to the Jews still being in the land of Israel. He's coming back for his Jews. So I do believe that the judgment came here because Israel was on the verge of self-destruction by their immorality. Is Israel on the verge of destruction by their immorality now? They really were before October 7th. I mean, they were a homosexual capital of the world in Tel Aviv. A lot of the young people have been educated into the globalist perversion mindset. There were Jews who were attacking Orthodox Jews that were reading the Torah, the Old Testament, the law, publicly. They were assaulting them. And so, in other words, just left alone for a little while longer, Israel would have lost its religious affections for God. You know, the Orthodox would have been pushed out, marginalized, gone in another generation or less. And so God is acting now. He's going to discipline them, and there's going to be revival. Going back to chapter 25, or going to chapter 25, and in doing so, we're backing up about 7 years from chapter 24. So, the timing here is the word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim. So the fourth year of Jehoiakim was 605 BC. That happens to correspond to when Nebuchadnezzar came the first time. Nebuchadnezzar came three different times. The first time he says, okay, you guys, I'm the big guy, you pay me and you can live and you can keep your city. And then Israel kept rebelling, and so then finally, you know, a few years later, 586 BC, he destroyed the place. But it was in 605 that he carried a bunch of people away, including Daniel. So, in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, which was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, the very first year he attacked the Middle East area of Israel and came into Jerusalem the first time, which Jeremiah the prophet spoke to all the people of Judah and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, from the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, even to this day, this is the 23rd year in which the word of the Lord has come to me, and I've spoken to you, rising early and speaking, but you have not listened. So this, he's saying, he gives this sermon just before Babylon comes. So it's been 23 years, and in the same year Babylon's coming, he goes, I've been warning you, and you haven't listened. Wait a few days, weeks, whatever it was after this, and you're going to see Nebuchadnezzar come in here and haul away Daniel and others. And then I want to just emphasize, if you're taking notes, he warned then for another 8 years until the second invasion in 597. They didn't listen. He warned another 11 years from then until 586 BC, and they wouldn't listen. A total of 42 years. Imagine that. 42 years. Jeremiah is being the Mr. Negative. The Mr. Where's the Oracle today? You know, so in other words, it would be natural for a whole generation to hear somebody say the sky is falling, the sky is going to fall, the sky is going to fall, and the total of 42 years they're in this mocking mode because it never happens. How long have I been thinking, preaching, teaching, you know, coworkers, everything else? 50 years I've been saying Jesus is coming back. He's going to rapture the church. There's going to be wars in the Middle East. You know, and people could rightfully say, Kevin, you know, I mean, you've been saying that a long time. My own family will say, yeah, Kevin, you've been hearing that a long time. But it's the burden that God always gives his people. This place is going down. This world is going down. And we do have unfulfilled prophecies. Jeremiah was speaking unfulfilled prophecies. He was actually writing this down. He was becoming the Word of God. But God told him to start warning 43 years before God knew it was going to actually happen. And now what we have are prophecies of hundreds, thousands of years that he's given to us, and we're supposed to be his spokesman, and we say it, and we say, they're really getting tired of hearing this. Yep, I know. Keep saying it, because it's going to happen. And the Lord has sent to you all his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, but you have not listened nor inclined your ear to hear. You know, Jeremiah is saying, it's not just me, it's all the prophets God has ever sent. They come early and sends them, but you will not listen or incline your ear. Why? Because of pride, like we started out. A prideful heart cannot hear the warnings of God. They said, these prophets in Jeremiah 2, they all said, and therefore we should say, repent now, everyone, of his evil way and his evil doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord has given to you and your fathers forever and ever. He was saying, if Israel repents, they'll be like Nineveh. Jonah went into Nineveh, said, judgment's coming in 40 days. And they repented, and so it stayed. You know, God gave them mercy until they needed judgment later on when they forgot about it. And for the Jews, it's like, if you repent, your nation stays here. Babylon won't come. Just repent. And for us, we say, do we say repent so you can live in America? No, we need to, we say repent, because no matter what, this place, all the world's going down, you're going to die someday. You need to repent so that you can live in heaven, so that you can go and have a relationship with the God who created you. But in either case, repentance is what has to happen. Do not, verse 6, do not go after other gods to serve them and worship them. And do not provoke me to anger with the works of your hands, and I will not harm you. Don't worship idols. God makes, again, a very big deal with idols. Our culture, idolatry is really in the phones, in the form of porn and all the immorality. And that is a global problem. We all agree with that. Multi-billion dollar problem. And we must avoid porn. Yet you have not listened to me, says the Lord, that you might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt. And we see people just doing such terrible things to their own hurt, and that's rejecting God. I mean, you reject God to your own hurt. And we should use that term. You know, I don't want to believe in your Jesus. Do you realize what you're doing to your own hurt? And this isn't just like you're cutting yourself. You know, that's so popular today. People cut themselves. You're not cutting yourselves. You're cutting yourself off from God and therefore destroying your eternity. Verse 8, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, because you have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, says the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. So this pagan, idol-worshipping king is God's servant to bring judgment on Israel. And will bring them against this land, against its inhabitants, and against these nations all around. And will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment, a hissing, and a perpetual desolations. Very soon, Nebuchadnezzar came right after Jeremiah saying this and started defeating all the nations around. Nebuchadnezzar didn't just come for Israel. He came for Israel. He came for Egypt. He came for what's today Jordan, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Edomites. He came for them. He came for the Assyrians. He came for the Assyrians, Syrians. Even Iran over in Elam. Moreover, verse 10, I will take from them the voice of mirth. What's that saying? No more laughing. The voice of partying. There will be no parting in Israel. And the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride. People aren't even going to be getting married. You're not going to have a wedding feast. And, you know, we weren't there, but I would imagine, how can we even have a wedding feast? We're under siege. The city, we're starving. We can't do this 7-day feast thing. There's nothing to feast. There's no joy. Why even get married when we're about to be slaughtered by the people that are outside the gate? The sound of the millstone. What's the millstone? That's what grinds out the grain that was harvested from the field. And so what does it mean that you don't hear the grinding of the millstone? Because there's no grain to grind. There's no making flour. And the light of the lamp, what does that mean? There's no olive oil. You weren't able, under the siege, you're not able to go out to the olive trees and get the olives and crush the olives and turn that into oil that can be the lamps in your houses. And this whole land shall be desolate and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Then it will come to pass when 70 years are completed, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation and the land of the Chaldeans for their iniquity, says the Lord, and I will make it a perpetual desolation. So what chapter and book of the Bible do we read about the fulfillment of that? It's in the book of Daniel. Remember when when the king that replaced Nebuchadnezzar's grandson is having a big party, a drunken orgy party, and he wants to bring those gold vessels that my grandfather took away from Jerusalem and from the temple, and let's fill it up with wine and drink, and let's just have a party. And then the handwriting of God on the wall was mini mini tekel upharsin. You know, I see what you're doing. You've been weighed in the weight, and you're going to be dying tonight. You know, to make it, paraphrase it. And so that night, the Medo-Persians came in and destroyed Babylon. So in exact fulfillment. So God says, I'm going to use you, Babylon, to discipline my children Israel, but because you become so wicked in what you do, I'm going to destroy you. And then I'm going to put Cyrus, he prophesied that Cyrus, 150 years before Cyrus was born, I'm going to bring a man, Cyrus, Medo-Persian Cyrus, and he is going to let the Jews come back, and then the 70 years are done for the Jews being out of the land. And we studied earlier that why was it 70 years? Because the Jews had not let the land be fallow once every 7 years for 490 years. And so God kicked them out of the land so that the land could have rest for all those 70 Sabbaths that the Jews had violated the law of God by overworking the land. And so from 605 BC when he first came to 586 BC is how long the Jews struggled under the oppression of Babylon's about to kill us. So from before 605 BC, they're not going to come. God would never let it happen. 605 BC, Nebuchadnezzar comes. Then he comes again. Then he comes in 586 BC. And so for all that time, they're still not listening to Jeremiah, thinking, okay, well, he came in and he took some people away, but God's going to protect us and we're not going to repent. But it was all that time. And then in 535 BC, the Medo-Persians took over and gave a decree for the Jews to go back. So that's about 2 years off of the 70 years. But, you know, that's just based on our understanding of time. We can know from God's word that it was 70 years. You know, so somehow there was 70 years in there. Jeremiah 25:13, so I will bring on that land all my words, which I have pronounced against it, all that is written in this book, which Jeremiah has prophesied concerning all the nations. And really, we're going to see that this, later on, this is going to shift into going from the destruction of nations in Israel, judgment of Israel, in the time of Jeremiah, to a time future to us. Because it's going to say all the nations covering the whole world pretty soon. And it's going to, and the reason why God is doing this, in my opinion, is Babylon came to destroy Israel. What is God called the kingdom of the Antichrist in the future? Mystery Babylon. They're so wicked and everything else. They're bringing judgment to the world and they're sifting the wheat from the tares because God is going to allow this Antichrist to say, worship me or you die. And the people that don't worship him because they're going to fear God, it's separating those people. And it's just like the judgment that happened in Jeremiah's day was separating the people which way they're going to go. And so Jeremiah's prophesying Babylon's coming, and then there's a night, and then he's going to shift to a time that can only be future to us because it was not fulfilled when Babylon came after the Jews in the time of Jeremiah. For many nations and great kings, verse 14, shall be served by them also, and I will repay them according to their deeds and according to the works of their own hands. And then it's going to list those nations here in a minute. Verse 15, for thus says the Lord God of Israel to me, take this wine cup of fury from my hand and cause all the nations to whom I send you to drink it. And they will drink and stagger and go mad because of the sword that I will send among them. Then I took the cup from the Lord's hand and made all the nations drink to whom the Lord had sent me. Now, you know, it's hard to imagine that. How did God hand the cup? The cup of the grapes of what, would you say? The grapes of wrath. And so God is saying, Jeremiah, I've got a problem with all the nations. I've got a problem with all the nations around here. Everybody that has caused my children Israel to go into idolatry and to sacrifice their children and everything else. And my children started doing it and I'm going to judge them, but I'm going to judge all these nations. And then it's going to shift to, and I'm ultimately going to judge the entire world because of this. Grapes of wrath. I want you to now give this prophecy for your time and a prophecy into the future. This is the grapes of wrath. Everybody, they can say, oh, we're not going to drink it, but they will. It's going to happen. Jerusalem. So verse 18, here's the first one on the hit list. Jerusalem, and the cities of Judah, its kings, its princesses, to make them a desolation, an astonishment, a hissing, and a curse as it is to this day, fulfilled 586 BC, and they've suffered through the millennia since then. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, his servants, his princes, and all his people. Nebuchadnezzar dealt with Egypt. All the mixed multitude of all the kings of the land of Uz, all the kings of the land of the Philistines, namely Ashkelon, Gaza, Ekron, the remnant of Ashdod. At the time, that was what the Philistines occupied Gaza. How long has the Gaza been a problem to the Jews? Forever. And the Philistines actually were also in control of Ashkelon and Ekron, which are now in Israel's hands. You know, that's part of Israel today. But did Nebuchadnezzar deal with them? Yep, he dealt with them as well. Edom, Moab, and the people of Ammon, Jordan, did Babylon come and conquer Jordan? Yes. All the kings of Tyre, all the kings of Sidon, the kings of the coastlands, which are across the sea. Well, he tried to destroy Tyre and Sidon, but they were able to escape, and it was later given to Alexander the Great to destroy them. Dedan, Tema, Buz, and all of who are the farthest corners, Yemen, parts of Saudi Arabia, all the kings of Arabia and all the kings of the mixed multitude who dwell in the desert, Saudi Arabia, all the kings of Zimri and all the kings of Elam, and Elam is over in Iran, and all the kings of the Medes, and so the area of Iran. So, verse 26, all the kings of the north, far and near, one with another, and all the kingdoms of the world which are on the face of the earth. Now, was that fulfilled in the time of Jeremiah, Babylon, coming to destroy the Jews? No, it wasn't all the kingdoms of the world. So this he's now jumping into a future grapes of wrath judgment of God. Also, the king of Shishak, Babylon, that's a name for Babylon, may be actually addressing the kingdom of the Antichrist in context here. Also, the king Antichrist shall drink after them. Therefore, you shall say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, drink, be drunk, and vomit. Fall and rise no more because of the sword which I will send among you. Verse 28, and it shall be, if they refuse to take the cup from your hand to drink, then you shall say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, you shall surely drink. Now, some question whether or not God somehow miraculously gives him a cup, or, you know, it could be that he was delivered a cup and he traveled to these different nations and say, I'm the prophet of Israel, and God has told me that the grapes of wrath are coming for you from Babylon. Dad, get out of here. Babylon's not going to deal with this. Well, you're certainly going to drink. And then it has to be just God is delivering that cup message to us, to our generation, because certainly some of this is applying to a time yet future where God is going to judge all the nations of the world. They will drink it. No nation is going to escape. Verse 29, for behold, I begin to bring calamity on the city which is called by my name, and should you, Gentile nations, be utterly unpunished? You shall not be unpunished, for I will call for a sword on all the inhabitants of the earth, says the Lord. And so that's also, if it is a far fulfillment, if this is really speaking to our generation, he's saying, I'm going to discipline Israel, even in the last days. Should the other nations not be disciplined? Oh no, they're going to be disciplined too. So once again, that what's about to happen in Israel, and people are saying again, any day now, how could it not happen by the 24th? I don't know. God knows. Maybe it's going to, the storm is going to blow away again, and nothing's going to happen. But God's other prophetic, Isaiah 17 says the glory of Jacob is going to wane. That there is going to be the glory of Jacob, which is before October, Israel was a happening nation. People were living in peace. They were using their peace and prosperity for immorality to a large extent. To a large extent, the people hated the Orthodox Jewish people that run around with the Torah. And all that stuff was happening. Yep, I'm going to judge that, but you know what? I'm going to judge this whole world. And we're about to watch a kind of judgment. Isaiah 17 says, Damascus will cease to be a city. Men will be leaving their strong cities because of Israel. And there will be desolation. And the nations are going to be experiencing the grapes of wrath. Therefore, prophesy against them all these words and say to them, the Lord will roar from on high and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He will roar mightily against his fold. He will give a shout, and those who tread the grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth. That, again, he didn't do all the inhabitants of the earth back in Jeremiah's day. A noise will come to the ends of the earth, for the Lord has a controversy with the nations. He will plead his case with all flesh. He will give those who are wicked to the sword, says the Lord. All nations, all flesh, wrath of God coming soon. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, disaster shall go forth from nation to nation, and great whirlwind shall be raised up from the farthest parts of the earth. And at that day, the slain of the Lord shall be from one end of the earth even to the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented or gathered or buried. They shall become refuse on the ground. From one part of the earth to the other part of the earth, all the nations are going to have a massive die-off. And as we've emphasized here, the four horsemen of the apocalypse results in today 2 billion people dying. And then another 2 billion people die after that. And that is a lot of people, and that is from one end of the world to the other end of the world, a massive judgment of God. And then he says, wail, shepherds, and cry. Shepherds, you know, not like biblical shepherds. This is like people that rule over the people. Wail, shepherds, and cry. Roll about in the ashes, you leaders of the flock, for the days of your slaughter and your dispersions are fulfilled. You shall fall like a precious vessel, and the shepherds will have no way to flee, nor the leaders of the flock to escape. Turn to Revelation 6:12. Because again, I think this is talking about the tribulation period, which we'll be gone for. And if that's about to start, oh yeah. You gotta be going pretty soon. So, he's saying the false prophets, false leaders, corrupt leaders, they're going to think they can get away. There's many, many articles about why are all these rich people, these billionaires spending all, and millionaires, spending all this money on bunkers. You know, building bunkers is a bunker business right now. And why? Because people are saying, we're the elite, we're rich, we're going to be down. And they even have a term for dumbs, deep underground military bunkers, dumbs. That they know have been drilled underneath. I mean, look at Hamas. They made hundreds of miles of tunnels in Gaza, which is just blows me away. And in that small little area of land, I know somebody in Wisconsin that he was telling me that I saw the article and he goes, yeah, it was close. My uncle actually, that all of a sudden there was this restaurant and the tiles are just busting up on the restaurant floor. And just working its way across the restaurant and going. So, and then people were hearing noise down in the ground. My deduction is there was a tunnel drilling and it was busting, you know, it was pushing up on rocks more. They weren't deep enough, pushing up on rocks and just busted up the floor. This restaurant is just going along. And so they have these deep, would the government want to build deep underground bunkers for survival of government in the case of a nuclear war? So if you know they want to do that, that's what they are doing it. And they're thinking, by golly, we're going to be okay. We'll come out. We'll start the world over. Based on the word of God, ain't going to happen. They are not going to escape. And this is what Revelation 6:12 says about that very end judgment. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth, As a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind, then the sky receded as a scroll when it was rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place, and the kings of the earth, the shepherds of Jeremiah, the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the grapes of wrath. I'll add. So it just says, thrown from the wrath of the Lamb, the grapes of wrath that Jeremiah prophesied 2,600 years ago. For the great day of his wrath has come. Who is able to stand? According to Jeremiah, nobody. Nobody is able to stand. Back to Jeremiah 25:34. Wail, shepherds, and cry. Roll about in the ashes, you leaders of the flock, for the days of your slaughter and your dispersions are fulfilled. You shall fall like a precious vessel, and the shepherds will have no way to flee, nor the leaders of the flock to escape. A voice of the cry of the shepherds and wailing of the leaders of the flock will be heard, for the Lord has plundered their pasture, and the peaceful dwellings are cut down because of the fierce anger of the Lord. Where their bug out bunkers, their getaways, their places where we're going to be at peace. We're going to avoid this. It can be for all those common people out there, but we're okay. And nope, the Word of God says the peaceful dwellings are cut down because of the anger of the Lord against this perverted world. He has left his lair like the lion, for their land is desolate because of the fierceness of the oppressor, which is God, and because of his fierce anger. And I don't know about you, but when I'm trying to not even get too much into the news, I read the headlines are enough to make me realize we've gone psycho. I mean, we have truly gone demonically psycho. For those that are in the school of ministry, we're listening to Chuck Smith. And back in what I can tell is the 80s, Reagan was president, in this series right now. And he's just saying, we're done. We're done as a country. There's no way we can avoid judgment. It's imminent. I don't even know how we're going to get past whatever date. And he was just saying because the foundations have been destroyed. He was talking about the courts are messed up, the corruption within the courts and the legal system and just the representatives and the governors and everything and just how, and the educational system, how they kicked the Ten Commandments out. Did you know that, Louisiana just passed a bill that all the schools in Louisiana have to have the Ten Commandments up? Huh?
Not just the schools,
and other entities. So we're undoing something that happened when I was a kid. So 60 years, 60 some years, close to 70 years ago, the court said, rip it down. And many, many commentators, many, many God-fearing people have said, that's the day we really started going downhill, is when we took the law of God off. And the governor of Louisiana says, bring it on as far as, bring the lawsuits on. Do you think he'll get sued? He'll get sued big time. And for the simple act of putting 10 commandments, how dare you allow God's law of 10, just 10 of the 613, just 10 of those commandments, thou shalt not steal. What do you mean? I mean, do you realize what that would do for all these people that walk into Walmart and Safeway and everything else and just rip everyone? I mean, we can't do that. There are companies are shutting down all over this country because they can't survive. They're going bankrupt because of this. And then we want to fight about whether to say, thou shalt not steal. God looks up and he's like a fierce lion in his lair. Is there anybody on this planet that has any sanity left Pretty much not. I'm going to take my kids home and I'm going to bring judgment. And the judgment is going to separate the last remnant. The people left behind, many of them are going to see this judgment and say, you know, for us that have warned them, this is what the scripture said. This is what Revelation said. We just saw the four horsemen of the apocalypse gallop down the road and destroyed a fourth of the world's population. This Bible is true. God's true. Those Christians that told me and gave me left behind chips, you know, that I can go now read and watch, and they're going to get saved. The humble are going to humble themselves, repent of rejecting God, and realize they've missed the rapture, and they are going to repent and turn their lives to God. It's going to cost them their heads. And it says, the Bible says, myriads of people come out of the great tribulation because they have faith in Jesus. And so God's going to bring the judgment so that he can have another harvest of people that wake up as a result of the judgment that comes. And some Jews, they woke up to the judgment that was coming. They listened to Jeremiah. They defected to Babylon. They saved their lives. Same thing. But do be praying. Because Israel, again, I mentioned last week that I talked to Aaron Lipkin, and he is so distraught because he sees the corruption in his own nation. He sees the globalists in his own nation. And he and his friend are just talking about and not just the corruption in his own nation, but seeing all these nations that are against him. And all the ways that they could truly, Lebanon has tens of thousands, over 100,000 missiles that haven't been used yet. And when they say, we can launch those on you, and you haven't seen anything yet, that's what they can do. And anybody that's living in Israel realizes, we can't take hundreds of thousands of missiles. How can we do? Something big has to happen or we're all dead, is really what he was saying in the conversation. And I said, yep, something big is going to happen. I suspect you guys are going to be using your nukes pretty soon. And the God of Israel will, by his promises, protect your people. You are going to be hurt, but you're not going to be out. Read Isaiah 17. When I was sharing with him Isaiah 17, it was kind of funny. He wasn't familiar with it. He's a Jew. He should read. Don't you think he should read his prophets? So we're living in amazing times, and we got to keep our eyes on Jesus. I just heard before the service people that I married that are putting their eyes on Satan instead of Jesus. And it just blows me away. It's not the time to flake out. It is the time to get more and more serious about the God who saved us. Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you for just how timeless your precious word is. How you know the end from the beginning. You told us these things. And God, we stand in awe that we know this is the truth. And we stand in grief. Lord, we humble ourselves in grief of how many people just can't see this truth in a way that would cause them to go from death to life. And we pray that you would use us to share this message in Jesus' name. Amen.
That seeks fix your face, O God of Jacob. We bow our hearts, we bend our knees, O Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. Oh Lord, we cast down our idols. So give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Not lift our souls to another. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face, oh God of Jacob. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face, oh God of Jacob. Bow our hearts, we bend our knees, O Spirit, come make us humble.
It takes humility to get saved, and it takes humility to grow in our love for Jesus, and just, you know, God make us humble. Amen? And that is a totally obnoxious buzz. So, kill it. But God bless you. Keep you in his care and be looking up. Our redemption's drawing nigh.